Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast
We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. We thank God today that He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. We proclaim to you today that He has not some power, but He has all power in His hand. And He is able to do not some things, but all things. And we just thank God today because He is the great I am, that I am, that I am. We would like to welcome our radio audience to this segment of Breakthrough Broadcast. We're excited about what God is doing. We're excited about what God is doing on this broadcast. We thank God for the men and women of God that have yielded themselves, given themselves to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Our topic for the day will be Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And our key verse is, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Our study text is will be coming from two books in the New Testament, and they are Luke, the 10th chapter, 38 through the 42nd verse, and John, the 11th chapter, and the 28th through the 45th verse. Our central truth will be God's gifts of friends sustains and encourage us in every season. We just thank God. I know that you're getting ready to hear what God has given His people on today. And we want you to know at this time that God is in control and God does have all power in His hand. So we want to also to share with you the topics for today. The subtopics we're going to be speaking on today will be coming, first of all, our first topic is friendship and fellowship, which will be coming from Luke, the 10th chapter, 38 to the 42nd verse, which will be coming from Miss Helen Watson. And our next subtopic will be coming from friendship and grief. That's going to be the second subtopic. And it's going to be coming from John 11, chapter 28 through the 36th verse. And this topic will be coming from Elder Natasha Davis. And the third subtopic, friendship and victory, John the 11th chapter 38 through the 45th verse. This will be discussed by Pastor Lewis Malone. I know you're getting ready to be blessed of the Lord. Yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go to the throne of grace, and we're going to ask you to please come and go with us as we seek the face of God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We do thank you, God, today that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. We thank you today, God, that we once again can get into your word. Your word say, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, even as we speak your word today, we ask God, we ask you right now to bless the hearer and the doer of the word. We ask you, God, to give revelation knowledge. We ask you, God, to give understanding. We ask you, God, to give clarity. We ask you, God, to make yourself known through this discussion on today. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, continue to bless our radio audience. Lord, we ask you, God, to meet every need, God, even now. And for this, we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we're getting ready. We're ready to go before our audience, and most of all, go before God. And we want you to listen, and we want you to just to get involved as well. You may be listening to this broadcast, but we want you to get involved just by hearing the Word of God, reading God's Word, meditating on God's Word, even as the Scriptures and the Word of God is being read and as it is being discussed. We would like to take this time to welcome Miss Helen Watson to the Breakthrough Broadcast. And let us bless the Lord for her as she talk about friendship and fellowship. Miss Helen Watson.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And hello to our listening audience and our Breakthrough family panel. And I'm going to be coming from Luke, the 10th chapter, 38 verse through the 42nd verse, called Friendship and Fellowship. And it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, if thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone, bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And verse 42 says, but one thing is needful, and Mary does that is good, the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And here we see Jesus in the house of Martha, because it says she took him into her home. So we know that it's Martha's house. And we're talking about friendship and fellowship. And when you have a friendship with a person or people, when it's a really close friendship, that means it's intimate. You share things. They know things about you that other people don't know. And when you fellowship with those friends and with the people that you love, and you also love them. So when you fellowship with them, it's having a good time. It's sitting. It's learning. It's listening. It's just fellowshipping and having a good time with each other. And we see here where Martha gets upset because her sister Mary is sitting and not helping her. And when I was reading, I was studying, and I was saying friendship and fellowship, and I was asking God friendship and fellowship, but I was also seeing Martha very distracted. And I was saying, you know, sometimes in life we get distracted about, you know, God's work. Here Jesus is in her home, and he's sitting and he's talking and he's teaching, and and Mary is at his feet. She's taking in every word. She's worshiping him. She's listening intently. And when I was reading even further, she was sitting at his feet, and that is the position where disciples usually sat, at his feet, to listen and to learn. But we see Martha all distracted, and I was saying, Lord, sometimes we get distracted about things we think that we are serving God, and we're doing everything and we're busying ourselves, but it has nothing to do with what he wants us to be doing at that time. We're way off the mark. And here we see her Martha in the kitchen, and she's serving and she's cooking and she's making this dinner ready. But like Jesus told her, he said, Martha, Martha, in verse 41, he said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But he was telling her, your sister has taken the best part. She is sitting, she's listening, she's learning. I'm pouring into her. Where, in essence, where Martha should have been. But she was worried about the wrong thing. We get busy in our Christian life, and we think we are just really, really serving God. But we're really not. We're distracted. We cannot get our attention. What she should have been doing was sitting and listening and let him pour into her. But sometimes we get busy, and we just don't even think this is what he needs us to be doing. But it's not what he needs us to be doing. He needs us to be listening intently to him so he can pour into us so we can get where we need to go. On the other hand, Mary is sitting at his feet. She's taking in everything. She's worshiping him. So I see here there's worship and there's service. Martha is, in a way, serving, but she's distracted, so she's not going to get what the Lord has for her. Mary is sitting at his feet, and she is worshiping him. And we see, if we read through the scriptures in Luke, and some of the, if you go on into the Gospels, you will see Well, Mary is often at Jesus' feet. She's in the posture of worship. She's where she's supposed to be. She's getting what she's supposed to get from him. Because in one point, she was washing his feet and pouring oil on his and anointing his feet. And at one point, he said she was anointing him for burial. So she was where she was supposed to be. So we get distracted, life distractions, and sometimes we just get caught up in what we're doing, even though it's in the church. But it doesn't benefit God any because we're not even paying attention to what he's saying. We're not listening. And here we see in his friendship and his fellowship, he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, because if you read the scriptures, he visited their house more than one time. And we know the story of Lazarus, but he has visited their house more than one time. So that tells you that he loves them, that he has a friendship with them, and he loves to fellowship with them. And in our Christian life, that's what we should be doing. In our prayer time, that's what we should be doing. We should have a friendship with him, that close, that intimacy, so we can hear what he says, like Mary sitting at his feet. She's listening intently. We should be listening intently to him to see what he's saying, to see what he would have us to do, for him to teach us so we'll know what our destiny is. Not like Martha, distracted in the kitchen, even though she thinks she's serving him, but she's missing out on so much. She's not even listening to him. So if he was to give her some sort of instruction, she was not even listening. She does not even know what he's saying. So she's distracted doing something else, serving, but she's distracted. And that's how many of us today are. We're serving, but we're distracted. So we're not being advantageous to him. We're not being beneficial to him because we're not even listening to his instructions. We're not even listening to what he's saying. We're not listening to anything that he's telling us because we're distracted. But Mary, on the other hand, we should be like Mary. We should be sit at his feet, the intimacy with our friendship and with our fellowship with him. I know when I get up in the morning and that's the first thing I do. I am happy. I'm ecstatic. I'm excited to be to fellowship with him because it's the dawn of the morning. It's the early part of the morning, a new day to fellowship with him. And it's quiet. And I can hear what he's saying and he can hear what I'm saying. And it's just peace. So we should be awesome. We should be ready to fellowship with him. We should have that fellowship with him every day. Even sitting at your desk at work. You can do it anywhere, even in your car. Just as long as we fellowship with him. So when I was studying, I got two different things. I got Mary worshiping, and I have Martha serving, but Martha is distracted. And I was saying things in our life shouldn't distract us or take us away from him. It should bring us closer to him. She should have been there sitting at his feet. But sometimes we don't do that. We think that serving in the church is all that he needs, but we're not listening to anything he said. I've seen people serve in the church, but you ask them what's in the Bible, what's the word, they can't give it to you. Now, they'll hear the pastor say it, but they don't know it for themselves because they're distracted and doing all kinds of other things in the sanctuary, and it's not beneficial to their soul, to their growth. And here, that's what I got out of this study when I was studying it. Distractions. Martha's distracted. Mary is worshiping him. So we should have ourselves in a position to worship him. When he comes that early in the morning, when I'm fellowshipping with him, I can hear clearly what he's saying, and it will not interrupt it. And that's what we see here. Mary is. He told us she was just in an uproar. She was angry. Her sister wasn't helping her. She wanted Jesus to tell her to get up and tell her to help me, just not sit there. But she was in the right place, and that's how we should be in our Christian life. We should be in the right place with God. We should be paying intently that attention intently on what he's telling us to do and what he's telling us to say. But if we don't get into that friendship and have that friendship and that fellowship with him, we'll miss out on our blessings. We'll miss out on things that he wants to give us. Sometimes people see his past because they're distracted and they're not paying attention to what season they're in. And sometimes people season pass, you have to wait till it comes around again. That puts you behind on what God would have you to be doing at that time. We need to check the season to see where we are. That's what I got out of that message today. Just distraction. Don't be distracted in serving God like Martha was. Be like Mary and sit at his feet. Hear every word that he says. Get into him. Get that friendship, that intimacy with him, that fellowship with him that he so desires. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Oh, we thank God for the word. We thank God for what we have heard because it's so important that we can have that fellowship with him. Where did God say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us? Then I was listening, even when the song came up for introduction, I was thinking as Ms. Watson was speaking, communicating me again about falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I ever done. Even as she began to talk about the things that she does when she gets up in the morning, that means that she has fallen in love with Jesus. And then a part of that song that she was saying, fall in love with Jesus, is no other place. There's no place that I, Brother B. When we began to look at Martha, Martha loved it, Jesus, but she wasn't willing to seek his face in the way that God wants her to seek it. So she wasn't willing to seek that fellowship and relationship with him. Yes, as Miss Watson was saying, she was distracted. Many people today are distracted. She had mentioned about sometimes we're doing things in the church, we're doing things at the home, we're doing things on our job or whatever it may be, and we get distracted. We get off course instead of seeking God, instead of spending what time with him. So therefore, it is vital, it is so important that we seek the face of God. It's so important that we have that friendship and relationship with him. It's good to have friends, it's good to have relationships, and that's what the Lord wants us to have. And Mary and Martha, they had this friendship with Jesus. They had the friendship with one another. But the most of all, our friendship and anything we do, it should be with our Savior. When I began to look at the keys of verses, or the keys, some of the keys there, when it says what friendship is forever. It's just not turn on, turn off. Friend loveth at all times. That's one of some of the things I thought about in the discussion, in the reading of the word. Friends never give up. God don't give up on us. He is that greatest friend. He doesn't leave us. And the word of God says he will not forsake us. The word says, when we began to look at that friend, it says, friend will celebrate you. And that's the way we ought to do. We ought to celebrate Jesus. We ought to celebrate one another. We ought to lift Jesus up. When we can lift Jesus up, then we can lift one another up. And it says, friends share in trials, no matter what you go through. This was a period of time that, yes, Mary and Martha, they were spending their time, we see that, with Jesus, and they was, and Martha brought them to her home. But she thought that, even as Ms. Watson was saying, she thought that, hey, Mary not doing all of what she ought to be doing. Mary just sitting here, probably looking at the face of Jesus, and she not helping me around the house. But she was getting something far more important. It was important what Martha was doing. It was good, but it wasn't the first thing. It wasn't what she should have been doing. She should have been there. Why? Because Jesus was in the house. Somebody missed it sometimes because they don't know that Jesus in the house. Sometimes we can be at church and we forget that Jesus in the house. Or we forget even in our homes and our places that we work, we forget that Jesus in the house. When we can hear the word of God, when we can hear the truth being manifested, when God is speaking to us, then we ought to be able to be receptive and receive, because everything that he is saying is so precious. Everything he's saying is going to call us to live and not die. If we could just take it, if we could just digest it, and if we could just be obedient. We just want to thank God again for Ms. Helen Watson as she discussed friendship and fellowship. And I thank God for the fellowship and the friendship of others, but I thank most of all for the fellowship and the friendship and fellowship that we can have with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a word. I hope someone is listening. I know that you're listening. I know that thoughts are going through your heart and mind, your mind, as to what God is speaking. Because, yes, God is speaking to us today. Now, we're going to move a little, go on, and we're going to move further in our discussion on the panel here at Breakthrough Broadcast. And, yes, you still have time. Call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that this is a good discussion, that it's going to, that the Breakthrough Broadcast is discussing on today, so that they too can enjoy and that they too can learn. So we're going to talk about next, friendship and grief. Now, this is very important as well. Friendship and grief. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Ms. Elder Natasha Davis as she comes to us and as she gives us that anointed word from God. Elder Natasha Davis.
Praise the Lord, everyone that is listening by way of radio. I appreciate being with you on today, Dr. McCoy, and to Ms. Watson and Pastor Malone. I really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the Breakthrough broadcast on today. I want to share with you our subtopic on today that's coming from the book of John, John chapter 11, verses 28 through 36, and the Bible reads as such. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, they rose up hastily. Mary rose up hastily and went out and following her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave and weep there." Verse 32 says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him." Amen. Thank the Lord today for the topic friendship and grief. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 3, that there is a time of laughter and there's a time of weeping. And so grief is a part of life, and it comes. The Bible says that it's appointed once for man to die, and then there is the judgment. Death and grief is something that that is a part of our life. But the most important thing is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And if I were you today, I would make the Lord Jesus my friend and my Savior. We find ourselves in the Word of God where Lazarus is a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the storyline or the scripture is talking about where Jesus is coming to comfort Mary and Martha, who has lost their brother due to death and sickness. I want to say today that the type of friendship that we want to have with Jesus and with our relatives, with our true friends of God that God has put in our lives, the Bible says that a friend loves at all times. If you're listening on today, if you don't have the type of friends that are willing to be with you in hard times and times of loss, grief is associated with loss that comes from death, that comes from illness, it comes from divorce. You can associate grief. Grief can be associated with many things, sickness. And so if you don't have the type of friends, according to the Bible says, Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loves at all times. If you only have a friend that is only to rejoice with you in times where you're receiving promotions, when you're getting checks in the mail, but when you don't have a friend that is able to be with you during the times of sickness, the times of sorrow, a time where you're overwhelmed with illness and you're overwhelmed with the loss of a loved one, I want to let you know today that that is not a friend of God. But the closest friend that we could ever have is the lowly Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus came to comfort her, and Jesus was moved with compassion to the point of him asking them, where did they lay Lazarus? A friend will always be able to have empathy and have compassion, and I love Jesus today because of the word. The word says that he had empathy and he came to console them. And so I thank God today that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. The book of Isaiah 53 and 4 says that he's borne our infirmities. And the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26 that says that the Spirit himself intercedes with groaning. And so as Jesus wept, he wept feeling the heaviness of Martha and Mary, feeling deserted. Have you ever been around a person and you're able to feel the heaviness of their heart and you begin to put your hand on their shoulder? You begin to immediately pray for one another. For the Bible says to pray ye one for another. You can't be a friend to a person without having the heart of God. You can't be a friend to anyone. You can't even have be a compassionate mother or a compassionate father without having first the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God is a very direct heartbeat of God. If you cannot be compassionate or empathetic toward any individual, any human, you can walk a person that is in pain. So many times you can go to church and sit right next to a person and cannot be touched with their infirmities. Well, I want to let you know, friends, those of you that are listening today, those that are around you that seem that they can't respond to your time of feeling overwhelmed with pain, with grief, I want to let you know when nobody seems to understand or can relate to your sadness or can relate to the type of distress that you're in, just know that you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who is able to be touched and able to interpret your pain and your groaning. He's able to interpret to the Lord how you feel, and he's able to comfort you, and he's able to put his arms around you just in the nick of time when people don't understand the very pain that you feel. But Jesus does. He does feel that pain today. And so it gives me to know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had a relationship. Today, if you're listening today to this broadcast, you need to understand that being saved is not about you going to church. It's not about legalism, that you stop smoking, cussing, and shacking. Being saved is having a relationship with the Almighty God through his son, Jesus Christ, who becomes your friend, your advocate, the person that has empathy and compassion on you and that will treat you with concern and care, and somebody that could sup with you and abide with you and always be tenderhearted towards you. Have you ever been around a person and you told them all your pain and it seemed like they weren't able to be moved by what you said? But I want to persuade you. The Bible says that we are to compel them. I want to compel you today to understand that you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so that you'll have a friend that will be with you and that will never turn his back on you. He's sensitive to you. He's always interceding no matter what it looks like. He always believes in you. He always wants you to have joy. He always wants you to have healing. And so who would refuse to have a friend that is always on your side anytime, day or night? I want to remind you today, friends, in your marriages, in your relationships with your children, in your relationships with your friends, remember that grief is a part of life, and we ought to be anointed to be able to speak healing. We ought to be able to anoint it to bring peace. You ought to have an anointing today that when you come around certain people, that they have a sense of comfort. Jesus had this statue. He had a posture. He had a disposition that wherever he came, people was at peace. People was at rest. He is Jehovah Shalom. If you call yourself a Christian today, you are a believer. When you show up, the Bible says that peace is the fruit of the Spirit. When you show up, a person who is upset, they ought to be able to calm down. They should be able to sense that you've been in the glory. They ought to be able to sense that you've been in the presence of God just by you. Even if you don't say anything, your very countenance should speak peace. You know, your very countenance should say that I walk with Christ and that shalom is with you. And so today, before I leave you, I just want to really urge you to understand, and don't let this broadcast leave the air without you understanding that your friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ is very important on today. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Oh, we thank God for those words, that it was even more so than we can, that we can really kind of comprehend, because, and you can comprehend what God is saying to you today, because it is the word of God. It will cause you to be blessed. It will cause you to be healed. It will cause that Jehovah Shalom to be inside of you, even in the time of grief, of friendship and grief. I thank God today because of what we are talking about today will give us what we need to go from day to day. When I think about Job and the things that he had gone through with his friends, it came to a part in his life, because we said that friends will be there with you always, even in trials, even in tribulation. They won't give up on you. They will celebrate you, even in death, even when you're grieving. You know, that person will be there with them. Because the word of God say, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's why I'm saying to you that God, he is our greatest friend. He will be there for us. And we thank God for people. We thank God because there are people out there that God has given in order to be a comfort and be able to lift your up. But when we began to think about how, you know, in difficult times, in times when Job was really going through, when he had lost his children, lost his cattle, and lost all the things that he had, his possession, yet we see that the friends, they wasn't as close to him as they should have been. When everything was going right, then, and the money was still flowing, he didn't have a lot of cattle, he was prospering, then they thought something was wrong with him, something that he was doing. But you know, that friend will still close. They had to really, God even had to let them understand and know what they had even did to Job, because God, this was God's servant. God allow him to go through some things. And sometimes God allow people to go through some things in their life. But if you're a friend, you're going to stick with that friend. You're going to be there with them. And even as she was speaking to Elder Natasha, I thought about the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of St. Luke. And I thought about him. You know, he was prosperous. His father seemed like he had a lot. You know, they had the servants. They had all of this. But then that young man wanted to go out his own way. And then he wanted to join himself, and he wanted to find these friends and be with these friends. As long as he had possession, as long as he had money, he had those so-called friends with him. But then after everything was gone, you need to listen to me today. After everything was gone, and it seemed like it wasn't proper, he didn't have any money anymore. He didn't have any more of those so-called friends that he had. So God wants to show us and give us that wisdom, give us that understanding that what relationship is, that we can have that relationship with him. Then we can have that relationship with others. God will lead, he will guide, he will direct us. Listen to me today. We are talking about a friendship and fellowship that came from Miss Helen Hooper. And then we went to friendship and grief that came from Elder Natasha Davis. And now we want to walk you through that last part of our discussion and on our subtopic, which is friendship and victory. And we were going at this time to Pastor Malone, Lewis Malone, and he's going to come and he's going to talk to us about friendship and victory. At this time, we would like to welcome Pastor alone.
Yeah. Grace and CC this evening, I do thank God that we are blessed to be heard and not talked about this evening. I'd like to say hello to you, Dr. McCoy, Miss Helen Hooper, and Elder Davis. Glad to be here with you all and to our broadcast listeners. My topic today would be friendship and victory, coming from the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, starting at verse 38. And it reads as this: Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he thinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the thing which Jesus did, believed on him. And amen. This topic today is about friendship and victory. First thing I thought about when I looked at all the subtopics and listened as the panel guests elaborated on it, I thought about, as he says, a friendship and fellowship. When everything is all right, you need to have a good friend. We always to have friends. And then when the time of grief comes, when you got a true friend, they'll still be there with you. Because the old saying is that a friend in need is a friend indeed. And we know that we have a friend in Jesus. And as we are dealing with our grief, we're dealing with our loss, and we're dealing with our misfortune, we know that he will never leave us. He said in his word that he's never forsake us nor leave us. So in the context of with the raising of Lazarus, when he come to the grave, notice Jesus faced death in the face. You know, we have a lot of friends that are stick close by us. But when you come talking about something as serious as death, it's not many friends that will come to you in the face of death. And we're talking about the darkest, the most terrible time in your life. When there's nothing going right, there's when you need your friend to pour out of himself. See, when Jesus groaned in himself, he groaned from deep within inside of him because he felt. He felt the emotion of compassion and anger. And he felt he had the sympathy for all the people that was there that was weeping for Lazarus. And we have some friends like that, but they far and few between. Now if you get one, you hold on to that one. Because sometimes we'll lose a friend over some foolish little things. What other people say about that friend, or might get mad at that friend. But I tell you, if you got a good friend, you hold on to them. I tell it to anyone that I run, if you have a good friend, you hold on to them. And the thing, see, God will put people in our lives. See that's the thing. That we know that we have a friend in Jesus, but we need that extra friend, that person we can talk to, face to face, you know, conversate with. We know that God is working through them. See, God will put people in your life to help you and to do your trials and times. See, and you know that the Spirit is with them by what they come and talk to you about. When they bring the good comforting words to you, when they sit there and weep with you, they laugh with you. And we have to know that some people that come into our lives, they come into our lives for that purpose, to strengthen us. They may not be that good friend that you're looking for, but it may be the one that's bringing what you need. Some may bring nothing with them because you don't need nothing. You already have everything. If you recall when Moses was crying to God about Hethrim when he was ready to cross the Red Sea, he said, "What's that you have in your hand?" See, a lot of times, people don't always have to bring something. They could just make you realize that you already have it. And when we have a friendship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have it all. And we will receive the victory. Here Lazarus was dead. And here his sister was weeping. His friends was weeping. They were hurt that Lazarus was dead. But the thing about it, they had a friend like Jesus that came and prayed for Lazarus. They prayed to God, "You have heard me." See, when we come to our friends, that's some of the things that we can do as a friend to someone in grieving, when they're grieving. We can pray for them, and we can demonstrate to them, show them that we care and we want to share in their grief. And not only that, we want to show you that we're willing to do for them to help them out of this situation. Here, Lazarus was in a situation of death. He was trapped in death. Now, see, we're not really looking at these things clear. We're looking at death and we're looking at Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the resurrection and he can heal us. Yes, Jesus has that power. But here we got to look at it from our standpoint as, what if we got a friend that's being evicted from their house, has lost their job, has 4 or 5 children, and they needed a place to stay? Now, it takes a real friend to pour out of themselves to say, "Come on, we're going to make room in this little two-bedroom house. We're going to make room for you and your children. We're going to make sure that you still have." Now, and the thing about it, all it takes is a friend to be there when someone going through something like that. And eventually they will be on their feet if you help them out. And always lean on God. God would always help you through. And when we do that, when we be a friend to them during a time of grief, then when they give them their feet, we'll have a victory. Not only them, but you too. Because you have done what thus says the Lord. Amen. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Malone. We want to thank God for Pastor Malone telling us and explaining to us the friendship and victory, because we can walk in victory. Sometimes we have to remind each other that you have the victory. I thank God for having a friend in Jesus. I thank God for having relationship and friendship with others so that we can lift one another up, so that we can put our arms around one another and lift them up, even as Moses was needed, that he was able to have those that to lift him up even in crisis, even when he needed for the wind to walk. We thank God for people that's able to be there for us. I thank God because the word of God said, as a man of God said, that God would never leave us and he will never forsake us. Even we can think about so many things that we want God to do in our life, so many things that we need God. I know that you can even think about things even now, what you need God to do in your life. And some of the things that we need to thank God, what can I do in order to help someone else as well? Sometimes we can be so guilty of thinking about ourselves, but we need to be thinking about what can we do in order to embrace and to lift someone else F up as well. We're going to go to Ms. Helen Watson, and we want her to share, but we're going to ask her to share with us on today what are some of the ways we can make time to fellowship. What are some of the ways we can make time for fellowship with friends? There are some people that are listening today out there in the audience, and they need some clarity. They need the understanding, and we're going to ask the woman of God to give us some suggestions and ideas how we can make time for fellowship with friends. Ms. Helen Watson.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. When you ask that question, a lot of things cross my mind. I mean, of course, we fellowship in church with our friends, but some of our friends don't go, don't attend the same ministry that we might attend. So I was thinking about some of my friends in North Carolina who I've known for over 20 years, how we would get together and fellowship at each other's house. We would just have little bitty things. It may be just something on a Sunday, just to say, call everybody and say, we're going to meet at a certain person's house to have dinner, and we meet there at a certain time. Even some things that I thought about, just having a support group, because when friends call you and they have a problem and they want you to help them out, they want that ear, they want you to be attentive to them, they want you to be just as moved as they are, like Elder David said earlier, just as moved as they are about what's going on in their lives. Because when you have a friend, you have a real friend, you have forever. And God connects your spirit, and you know when they hurt. You know when they need something. You know when to pour into them and they pour into you. So some of the ways you can just get together in fellowship, even little shopping sprees you go on when you got that intimate group of friends that you're with. And everything comes out there, and we being women, we know how to do that. We know how to go and get together over maybe a lunch or a dinner, or just get together in someone's house and just fellowship with each other, or at the church, whatever the case may be. But if you have really true friends, it doesn't matter where you are, just that connection and that love that you have for each other will make everything okay. When you have that person that you know you can rely on, you can call in the middle of the night and they're going to pick up, but you know that you can go to their house, they can come to your house, we can meet somewhere, and just talk about whatever's on their heart. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. We would like to go to Ellen Natasha, and we're going to ask her that she can talk to us about what are some ways friends have helped you in the time of grief.
Oh, that's a blessing to be able to share. In 2012, I was laid off from work, and I was unemployed and wasn't earning an income. And so I'm thankful for the people that rallied around me and bought gas cards and Walmart gift cards so that my daughter and I could have groceries, so that I could have gas. They, brought me things. They brought me gifts. It wasn't like, and the gift that they brought was clothing. And I was living a life as if I was still employed. I didn't go without anything. I had gift certificates to take my daughter to the movies and to have recreational activities. And so that was definitely a time of grief for me because, to go from being, a full-time employee to having no income, suddenly. It wasn't a great period of time that I had to prepare. It was all of a sudden. And so I'm thankful to God for the people that picked up the phone or just showed up unannounced with gifts to say, hey, I was thinking about you, and I know that you're not working, and come go with me, let me treat you to a manicure on today, or come let me take you out to dinner. I had people that said to me, I love you, and I want you to know that I'm here for you, and you're going to make it through this. And so I just really appreciate the prayers. I appreciate not only people saying that they are praying for me, but I appreciate the people that showed up with money. I appreciate the people that showed up to pay a bill. I appreciate the people that showed up with not only words, but they came with deeds and they came with monetary gifts. So during that time, I really was very thankful and appreciative that I had someone and people standing by my side saying and showing and demonstrating the love of God and being a friend to me.
Thank you, Elder Dania. We just thank God for that, for Ms. Watson and Elder Davis. We thank God for them sharing with us. And I thank God for just sharing with our audience, because I know that you had to be blessed. And at this time, we're going to go to Pastor Malone, and we're going to ask Pastor Malone, why do you think sometimes people stay distant from those who are grieving? Why do you think? Because sometimes I believe that some of these things are happening with people that's in our audience, and it seems like sometimes they tend to stay distant of those who are grieving. How can you help someone in the radio audience, Pastor Malone?
Okay, I can identify with that, because years ago, as a younger man, I was that one that would was standoffish when people were grieving. Because it wasn't that I wasn't feeling empathetic, or it wasn't that I wasn't feeling what they were feeling. It was not knowing what to say or what to do. And it always felt like I might say the wrong thing. As a younger man, I was always a jokester. No matter what I was faced with, I would always laugh and make a joke out of it, find a bright spot somewhere. And I was always afraid of me doing that to someone else, and it may not go over so well. So a lot of times people are standoffish because of they don't know what to say. They don't know how to express themselves. You have some that are prideful, don't want to let you see them grieve for some, whatever strange reason they may have to do that. But in a time of grieving, we have to comfort a person that is grieving. There's many reasons why people stand office. I don't think that if they're a friend or even an associate, they would have to be an enemy in order to stand off from you and just doesn't care. So I would think that it would have something to do with them not being sure of what to say or how to comfort you during your time of grieving. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Malone. We just so excited and so thankful to the Most High God for giving us revelation and giving us the wisdom and to enable others to have a clear, precise understanding of what God is saying through His Word. And so when we can get that understanding, then our faith in Him will be able to increase. Because as we said before, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we may not be able to see you, and even don't know what you look like in our radio audience, but God certainly knows what you're going through, and God knows how He wants to deal with His people. Now, we just want to take this time to thank our panelists today. We want to thank Ms. Helen Watson, Elder Natasha Davis, and Pastor Lewis Malone for being here again on Breakthrough Broadcast. But we're getting ready to pray, and we're going to ask Ms. Helen Hooper to close out on today. And we want you to know that God is in love with you. God wants you to know that He loves you and that He wants you to be saved. But we're going to go to Ms. Helen Watson and ask her to close us out in prayer.
God. God, I ask you to send it through the airways to touch every person that is listening, Father God, to stir their spirits, Father God, that they will come to you, that they will hear your word, they'll be doers of your word, Father God. I ask you to bless each and every person on the panel, each and every person that is listening, Father God. I ask you to send the angels right now, Father God, dispatch them to where they need to go, Father God, every problem, every healing that is needed, Father God. I ask you to send an angel right now with the answer, Father God, even into the hospitals and the nursing homes right now, Father. I ask you, Father God, to draw in wondering minds, Father God, to read the tables of your people's hearts right now, God, and this broadcast, for this broadcast to bless everyone, Father God, that is listening. Let the word spread, Father God, throughout the airwaves, Father God, about the breakthrough broadcast, Father God. Let it break yokes, Father God. Let it save and let it heal, Father God, as it goes through, Father God. And we ask these blessings right now in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We want you to tune in on next Saturday at this time. Again, we will before you, and we will come with prayer, with thanksgiving, and we will come before you with what God has given us. May the peace of God be with you today and always. This is Dr. Mary McCoy and the Breakthrough Broadcast. God bless you.